Hello and welcome to Euractiv's Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Natasha Foote.
And I'm Gerardo Fortuna.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food News team. So we're back for the first podcast of 2022. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Very exciting new year coming up for us this year, Gerardo.
If you say so.
Yeah, there's lots going on, lots on the agenda. There's actually, we did the whole podcast, the one just before Christmas, about everything that was coming up on the 2022 agenda. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you should have a little look.
Indeed. So we will not come back on the matter anymore. No, I'm joking. What are your resolutions for 2022, Dash?
Oh, my resolutions. Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. To do more podcasts, more agri reporting.
Yeah, this is for our listeners that probably will think, ah, it's a podcast, it's all staged. Absolutely not. It's 100% improv. It's like an agri jam session.
Exactly. I'm also learning to roller skate. That's my other resolution, but it's not to do with that. Okay, it's not to do with agriculture, but it's just a fun fact for you all. How about you? What about you, Gerardo?
Me? Well, for the podcast in particular, as you probably already noticed, I like to use a different English accent in every episode. And I'm starting with the Italian English accent for this episode.
What a treat. Never heard that before.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to next week.
Talking about what 2022 will give us, we actually started with quite a bang this year, because there was a very much awaited moment. Actually, it wasn't really a moment. It was just like a deadline. What are we talking about, Natasha?
The CAP National Strategic Plan, so the National Strategic Plans for the Common Agricultural Policy Reform, which were due at the end of last year. Did they all make it, Gerardo? That's the question.
Two-thirds of member states did it, made the deadline. Actually, there's another one that came this week from Lithuania, so now they are 19.
So we're still missing 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, I mean, there was this deadline to file these national strategic plans, in which all the member states would have listed all their action in their common agricultural policy plans, of course, to fulfill the EU ambition on agriculture, particularly the environmental ambitions. Some of them haven't yet filed the national strategic plans. Some of them had some actual problems, like, for instance, Germany, there was a new government. It's true that the Commission reacted in a certain way to this delay. What was the reaction?
Well, obviously they weren't happy about this, shall we say. I mean, I can't say that it comes as a surprise that member states missed the deadline, because if you remember, we reported back in, I think, December, November, that there were a lot of problems that were going on with the plans, that a lot of member states were saying they didn't have enough time, because it's obviously the first time that member states have ever done these plans, and there were a lot of delays, different issues. So a number of different member states flagged even before the deadline that they weren't going to make it. But even with that, of course, the Commission is not very happy that the member states have missed the deadline. And actually, this is what EU Agricultural Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski had to say about the countries that missed the deadline in this week's Agri Committee meeting.
We have 19 strategic plans, and we are waiting for the rest of the plans. I sent the letter to the member states who are delayed, and I hope that we will receive as quick as possible the rest of the plans, because it's very important to have all the plans at the same time and to assess them with the same criterias, with fair criterias, to avoid the double standards, etc. I hope that we received as quick as possible these plans. We had the first meeting of the with the French presidency this the last week, and their ambitious targets of the French presidency.
So, Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski used a quite interesting wording here. He said that the Commission wants to avoid double standards in assessing the strategic plans. I don't know what you think about, but I think it's a bit of a bluff from the Commission, like.
Like you think they're trying to just get everyone, speed them all up, get them all in, you mean?
I mean, I find highly unlikely that the DG Agri will start, you know, having a look at the plans unless everyone will file it. I mean, it's they're probably already assessing.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
this kind of line that he needs all of them to have an EU overview.
But it's a bit of an, it sounds like an excuse to force, because I mean, the Commission has no leverage on member states when it comes to meeting the deadline of the strategic plans. There's no such a fine or a procedure, an infringement procedure. So it's it's a deadline, but it's a procedural deadline. There's nothing happening. I mean, nothing will happen to the countries that delivered late.
I suppose it depends how long a delay we're talking, though. Because obviously, so this is the start of a bit of a ping pong to and fro exchange between the Commission and member states, in the sense of the Commission's now, they'll receive these plans, they'll evaluate them, they'll come back to member states. Member states will then have to make, you know, there'll be recommendations and changes and it'll go back to the Commission. So I suppose the main thing is, I mean, if we're talking of a delay of a few days, all the EU officials and people that I've spoken to have said, you know, I don't really see an issue of a delay of a few days or even a couple of weeks. But if we're starting to get into, you know, plans are coming in February, March, then, you know, we'll see maybe delays later on in the year, which could have like quite a lot of knock-on effects. I remember I was talking to, various different EU farmers and farmers associations who were all raising this issue that, you know, farmers need to know what's coming up in January. It can't be a last minute thing. It can't be kind of like December 2022, finally everyone knows what's going on. So, you know, I suppose that's worst case scenario, but you're right. It's early days. Maybe at the moment it's not too dramatic.
And as you said, you know, we expect some kind of ping pong between the member states and the Commission. Because again, the Commission will assess these plans, and then they will send back their feedback in particularly, this is another thing that Wojciechowski stressed during the meeting that he had with the MEPs in the Agriculture Committee, in the European Parliament's Agriculture Committee, that they're gonna assess. In particular, the compliance with the agri-food, the environmental ambition, so basically the farm-to-fork strategy and the biodiversity strategy. These are the main points. It's true, again, that the Commission doesn't have such a hard power, but particularly to speed up the procedure. It's also true that sometimes it might be there's some kind of, the need for some procedural time. I mean, most of the time, these kind of plans are approved at the regional level. And just to make an example, Belgium has to file two strategic plans, one for Flanders. One for Flanders and for the Flemish region and one for the Walloon region.
Twice the fun.
Yeah, so, and also we remember that there was an issue with Spain that in the end met the deadline regularly, but there was an issue between the central government and the regional government, let's say, So yeah.
Yeah, so I'd say the main message here is that this is really the, you know, stuff heats up for the national strategic plans now. And just a little plug, we'll be following everything that happens with the help of all of our different national offices. We'll be tracking everything that happens on national strategic plans on our tracker, which you can find on Euractiv's website. So make sure you watch out for that.
And on other news this week, this week actually kicked off a bit the agriculture agenda of 2022, because there was the, I already mentioned it, the agriculture, the European Parliament Agriculture Committee meeting. There will be the gathering of EU ministers next week, but we're going to come back to that later on. There were some interesting points touched on during this this meeting with the, of course, there was the hearing of Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski, but there were some other points in the agenda of the meeting, like, for instance, the new agreement, the ongoing negotiations with India, for a new trade agreement with the Indian subcontinent. But there was also another interesting story. Natasha, could you tell us a bit more about this story?
Yeah, there was a really interesting debate. I mean, it's not a new topic by any means, but it was an interesting debate over wolves and, you know, the coexistence basically of the farming community with wolves in the EU. And this is something that's becoming, you know, wolf populations are thriving now in Europe, which is obviously a massive success of conservation programs. There's been a big drive to try and help wolves. But obviously this has reignited a lot of tensions between the predator and EU farmers. And basically MEPs this week, so there was the chair of the Agri Committee, Norbert Linz, he actually put forward this this draft resolution on the protection of livestock farming and wolves, calling for farmers to be able to have the necessary flexibility to take action against wolves. And so by that, you know, MEPs were calling basically for wolves to have a lower legal protection status. So currently they are covered by the EU Habitats Directive. And this basically means at the moment that, you know, you can't capture, you can't kill wolves, you can't shoot a wolf that threatens you or your livestock. And this was the debate they were having. Should this be revised? Is this the moment that it should be revised? Plenty of voices saying that, yes, this should be reconsidered, not just Norbert Linz, but plenty of different MEPs. There were some kind of strong voices in favour, especially from Dutch MEPs, because there's increasing issues in the Netherlands where wolf populations are increasing. And so it's quite an interesting, I mean, it's, as I say, it's kind of an age-old debate, right? It's not the first or last time that we'll talk about coexistence between farming and wolves. And actually, it caught my attention because, from a personal note, I mean, just before I came to Brussels to start my budding career with Euractiv, I remember talking to I met a farmer in the Pyrenees who was telling me, you know, you go to Brussels and tell them about the wolves and the issues I have here. So it's really interesting to kind of have that experience. And then
it's more of a mission for you.
It's not a mission. It's just an interesting, it's interesting to live it, see it, and then also see the solutions for it and kind of the debates around it. But obviously, as with every issue, it's not a black and white thing, right? It's an enormously grey area of how you can coexist with these animals. And actually, I spoke with Dutch ecologist Glenn Lelyveld, who stressed that lowering the status of wolves could actually create more problems than it solves. So here's what he had to say about this issue.
We have the same interest in solving this issue. And shooting a wolf won't solve your issue in coexistence with the wolf. You have to solve the problem there where it is, and it's also already possible. There are a lot of documentation, a lot of research, a lot of policy briefings by the European Commission on how to do this. We actually have to do this. Instead of blaming the wolf that it shows its natural behavior, think about how we can act ourselves and take our own responsibilities in solving this matter.
So if you're interested to learn more about this debate on wolves, what was said, all the different sides and perspectives, make sure you go onto Euractiv and check out our article about that.
You know, what would be the perfect ending of this segment?
Oh, I can feel a really bad pun coming on.
No, absolutely not. It's more like a special effect. If we can have some howl in the background. Evie, can you put some howl in the background? I'm sure that we have the budget for that. So. Otherwise, I would be already howling. No.
I mean, you can go. You want to howl? You can go for it.
No. I will spare
all bark, no bite.
Our listeners. Yeah. Indeed. That's me. And we move to another topic this week, the geographical indications.
Your favorite?
No, it's not my favorite.
No.
It happened that I write quite a lot on geographical indication, but it's not like my favorite topic.
Okay.
It's more a bit of my expertise and joy. It's something that was raised during the Agriculture Committee meeting again. We can say that we were among the first to report on these rumors spreading in Brussels. So in a nutshell, there's an ongoing revision of the geographical indication policy, which is expected to be unveiled in the first quarter of this year, actually. What we mean when we use the term geographic indication, I always use the same example of prosciutto di Parma. So only the pig meat produced in the hills around Parma can legitimately bear the name of prosciutto di Parma. So, and the same with champagne, with the grapes grown in the French region. So it's basically a way to protect the names of specific food products in order to promote their unique characteristics, linked, of course, with links to their geographical origin, and particularly the know-how embedded in the region. So the new thing is that the Commission is mulling over the possibility to give more powers when it comes to the dealing with GIs to the EU's Intellectual Property Office, UIPO. Which is an office of the EU in Alicante, in Spain, and the point is that the EUIPO is already working together with the Commission on the matter. They examine filings, they organize webinars, a conference. They recently launched this free online database that aggregates all the registers for geographical indications. It's called GIView. So they already have a role. And at the same time, GIs are a product name, are basically included already in the EU system of intellectual property rights. And they protect those names against imitation and misuse. So what the UIPO is doing is to basically deal with the broad area of intellectual property, which covers trademarks, design, patents, and other types of protection, like, again, the geographic indication. But the bulk of EUIPO work at the moment is trademarks and design. So trademarks are the names we use to call products, while the design is about the shape and the external appearance of a product. But the reason why some MEPs are complaining about an increasing role of this office is that this move would lean toward a trademark approach. So it's like the French MEP Anne Sander said during the meeting, these are not trademarks. These are different. They consist in the know-how, the techniques, and most of the time these techniques have been passed down the ages. So for the MEPs, they need a different protection, and basically they want to keep the status quo because for them it's a system that works. Now, the readers of our newsletter may remember that we recently interviewed the spokesperson of the UIPO, Julio Laporta, and of course he didn't comment on rumors, but he said that his office have demonstrated that they have the expertise and the capacity to provide the Commission technological support when it comes to dealing with GIVU. So, the geographic indication. So the office is, the intellectual property office is ready to have more power, but of course they also the addition from Laporta. They don't want to be involved in the political aspects of GIs, because we know that GIs are highly political. You know, like the Prošek and Prosecco thing. Gosh. But
careful.
I filmed a video explainer on the situation. If you want to know more,
a very good explainer. You should check it out.
Yeah. And but also, I mean, one of the most political aspects when it comes to the when the EU is negotiating trade agreement with other blocs or with other countries. So again, there's a big political component in geographic indications. The EUPO doesn't want to deal with them with these aspects and want to keep it in the safe hands of the GIAGRA in particular. So let's see how this will end. Remember that the proposal from the Commission for a revision of the current geographic indication policy is expected first quarter, so before March this year.
So that's what's been going on this week. Pretty action-packed, actually. And there's also more fun to come next week, isn't there, Gerardo? Because there is, I'll give the game away. There's the first AgriFish Council next week under the French presidency. So in the AgriFish Council, we can expect basically the French Minister for Agriculture and Food, Julien de Normandie, will present the presidency's priorities in the area of agriculture and also fisheries. So you can expect him to talk a lot about reciprocal standards on trade for EU and non-EU products.
Which is one of the main priorities, indeed.
Absolutely, the main thing they're pushing on. So we're talking here like mirror clauses.
Remember, for the presidency, as you said, the mirror clauses in the trade agreement has always been one of the most pressing points for the French delegation.
Absolutely. So you can definitely expect a lot of discussion on that, outlining what they hope to achieve over the next 6 months in terms of when it comes to trade. But also he's really big, the big priority on, carbon farming, carbon sequestration in soils, big focus on agricultural soils, and also on reducing the use of pesticides in farming, which coincides at a moment when France is actually reconsidering or considering to reapply for another derogation in the use of neonicotinoid pesticides on sugar beet, to coat sugar beets, if you remember that actually they had a derogation last year. So that's a kind of an interesting timing to be talking about that. Also obviously he will also outline his plan in terms of fisheries.
And another topic that will be discussed during the AgriFish Council, are the continuing issues in the pig meat sector. It was raised even by MEPs during the hearing with the Commissioner Wojciechowski this week. So the situation is a bit critical across the EU because it's a crisis with multiple sources of problems. Of course, there's the African swine fever. Italy recently recorded a case in the northern part of the country, which is quite worrying, of course. But at the same time, Another problem is with the with some member states that are facing lower slaughtering capacity, and of course the increasing prices of both feed and inputs because of the energy crisis. So the current situation sees an increase prices below the cost of production for livestock farmers when it comes to pig meat. So this is one thing that will be that is quite high on the agenda of this of next week Agri-Fish Council. But another point in the agenda of next week is dealing with animal welfare, because there's a much awaited final vote on the report drafted by the MEPs in the special committee, the AND special committee on live transport of animals. They already adopted the report in December, right? And now this report will be voted by the whole plenary in Strasbourg next week.
So that's all from us this week. And this week, like every week, the Euractiv Agri-Food podcast was put together by Euractiv's Agri-Food news team. That's Gerardo Fortuna and Natasha Foote, with the technical support of our podcast producer, Ebi Chiori. You can also find this podcast on all major streaming platforms. That includes Amazon, Apple, Spotify and Stitcher.
And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss the latest agriculture news from the EU. I'm Gerardo Fortuna. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.